So we started Second Timothy chapter 2 last week, and I think we probably got to verses 1 to 6, and we talked, and it kind of follows very, clearly from verse chapter 1, and Paul is continuing to encourage Timothy to be strong, and he reminds him that it's not by his own ability, but by the grace that is in by Jesus. And we shared a lot last week, about, when we speak to people how we live or difficult challenges we go through, it's not by our own ability, but, it's by God's grace, and, God is able to use that, the difficulties to, build up our faith. And, in verse 2, we read that Paul is trying to ask Timothy to commit the teachings to faithful men and those who are able to, pass the teachings to other people as well. So not only those people who are faithful in serving, but that who have the ability to pass on to others. And, without that, spreading of the gospel, then it wouldn't have reached so many people. And I think it also requires people to be committed and willing to serve as well. And we talked about, the three examples that Paul gives us Timothy, about, how, walking in Christ is, using the example of a soldier, using the example of an athlete, and using the example of a farmer. And we know that a soldier has is prepared for hardship, and that's what Paul was saying. And even though we're not in the physical war, in our lives, we're reminded that we're in the spiritual warfare, and we also shared about the armor of God. We have asked put on the armor of God to help in our everyday lives. And see my notes, and then for the athletes, we talked about the Olympic Games were really quite well established, so this would be quite well understood by Timothy that athletes. And Paul uses this analogy of athletes many times, like, running the race, and, we're also in the race, but the athletes, they're very disciplined, and, they train very, very hard, and they're very single-minded, to winning the prize, and, they avoid distractions, and they, always try to improve, and, we can learn from this athlete. And then the last example was and farmer is I guess a bit different from the other two, where they're not after fame or glory, but a farmer works very hard, and we're given that this example that they don't work in vain. And even though that sometimes the crops can differ, they may have a good crop one year or bad crop one year. Another year, but they still strive, for, the best possible result. And, Paul says that, they don't work, the farmers are the first to partake of the crops. And I think we spoke, a little bit about this last week. And, I guess we can expand on this a bit more, because I think there's still, different ways we can kind of read this verse. And I think one way when I read this, or I was reading some of the commentaries, it's like, it's not talking about the monetary value, about when Paul says, the people who serve are, eligible, take monetary money the people because they're in full-time service. I think this is not what this verse is talking about. This is about, because we have the, you know, we have the gospel and, you know, we, you know, when the Lord comes, you know, we would be given our rewards, you know, from our life. And yeah, I don't know what others think of that verse.
Verse 6, you're talking, asking us, three things here, soldier, one who partakes in games, in contending games. You can either look at the person himself or herself, that is the soldier, or the one who participates in games, and the husband, that's the modern terms of husband in his farmers. If you look at the person himself, and the person, it says in verse 4, the soldier, the person, is one going, I don't know your translation, whether it has the meaning of going. So it's a person who goes to, who is going. It gives you the sense that he's going. He's not saying, I'm staying. I think about it. I'm going. He's not going on holiday here, but going to fight. I don't know your translation, but it gives me even clearer sense that this person has decided he's going. And one who is going for gains. Now this is also not something light, taking lightly, isn't it? I mean, you probably know how hard some of them are. So it's not something lightly. I remember as a secondary school student, I volunteered to run, it's like a sports day. I volunteered to run. I can't remember how many meters, but it's more than I could do. And I had to practice because of the sports. They have to practice after school. We in the school we have, I attend, we have a big football field. So I had to stay behind to run to try to see what it's like. I think it was about 10 rounds of the football field. I think it's 5,000 meters. It's silly, isn't it? For one who it's not even, you might even play football. But anyway, I had to put in the effort. So going as a farmer, which is also my personal experience because we got an allotment. And the allotment, when we took over 7 years ago, they hardly planted. The lady who did it, who hired it, who rented it. She was in her 70s, so she could hardly do much in terms of digging and weeding. So when Aloy and I took over the allotment, a lot of work did. So, but Aloy decided that's his relaxing. At that time he was recovering from his treatment of cancer. So he recovered, but he was quite weak. He hardly could walk very fast. So, with him in mind, actually, I took a hired this horrendous allotment. But I had to ask him whether he liked it. It's very hard. It's, you know, I did the not so hard bit, but he did a hard bit. It's now 7 years, and it's still you need to do a lot of reading. Well, from my perspective, these three persons, are those who are actually participating, not just as a bystander, onlooker. They're actually in, because I'm getting older, so Aloy is getting younger. So he does a lot more. Okay. Now, every year we have Yu Qi Guang, you know, shark's fin, squash, and we have 10. And how do we get the harvest? Yeah. If we don't water and we don't do the weeding, we don't do the feeding. Last year's produce we had of sharks, fin, melon. I still got 5 left in my garage. So tomorrow you're going to have one in the soup, Alois, making the soup. So it's rewarding in a sense, you know, being a farmer, rewarding. You're growing something for yourself to eat, or brothers and sisters. So, you know, the hard work is rewarding. Also, it's good for your health, isn't it? Mental health problems today. Yeah, the doctors recommend you work in a community farm. It will make you better. So I think for Timothy, we know he was coward. He was a coward because in chapter 1, God has not given us a spirit of cowardice. So it's not so much rebuking him, but encouraging. You know, you're a bit of a coward. But try, you know, make up your mind. Don't be double-minded, particularly you're facing a great challenge in terms of persecution, opposition. So I think to be a soldier, you can't say, I'm going, but wait a minute, I'm not going. I will be back, you know, tomorrow. You can't do that. You go and you go. You die if you... Obviously, we share about a soldier. You have to... You need to... Not just... A good soldier means not just you have... You learn how to fight. A good soldier is one who is totally dedicated. Is what it means here. You can be a very... You can be very good with your guns and all the firing drones and everything. But if you're not dedicated, I want to go back. It's not a good soldier. I think that as a runner or any, you participate in any games, you practice. And then you practice according to the rules. Yeah? You don't simply practice with no guidance. Then you've been wasting your time. Like you learn to drive. Your driving instructor never gives you any instruction. Just drive. And every time he says, oh, well done. But you've done so many wrong things. She hasn't corrected you. And then at the exam of the driving test, you failed 10 points failure. And you wonder why. You ask the instructor, why? You haven't told me this. You haven't told me that. You haven't told me this. You haven't corrected me. So I think this is a very good example for us as soldiers, as one who serve. You know, if you serve in preaching, say ministry, gospel, your Bible is your guidance, isn't it?
Yeah.
Don't ask anyone, how do I share? Just the Bible is, and the Holy Spirit is your Bible. The husband just have to pay in the sort of the hard work in it. We can't sort of sit by and enjoy the harvest. So Darby has a footnote that says that it's a husband who will go first to have the harvest. Obviously, we, from my experience in the allotment, we didn't have that because we share most of it, brother and sister. So sometimes we are the last to taste it. Take thy share in suffering. In your translation, I don't know whether it says take thy share with me, it does be just take thy share. What does your translation say?
The heart with
him. With him. Yeah. Actually, this is the original. Even Darby hasn't got it. Because this, take thy share means, it's the Greek word is co-share. Be a co-share with me. Co-share in someone. So if we see someone who is in prison, but, you know, I'm not asking you to do all these, like, terrible things, you know, that you would like, you would not like to do. But I'm co-sharing with you. Yeah. I'm not your manager, as you were. How you do it? I will criticize your result. Rather, I suffer together with you. I think this is my take for these two verses. Also, I just want to add on verse 2. In the presence of many witnesses, that were traces of abuse. And this, it means not only there were witnesses when Paul taught Timothy, there were witnesses to that teaching. It also has the sense that Paul was not asking, Paul was not saying, rather, that the witnesses, yes, they are there to witness the gospel, the preaching, the substance of it. But Paul was telling Timothy to actually teach. So we have to sort of notice the distinction. There are people here, we are sharing, but it is a very serious matter at times. Paul wants Timothy to take it up. But also, he didn't stop there. He said, you teach those faithful men who will be competent to instruct others. So it's a very long-term thing. I mean, I can imagine, I was a Sunday school teacher before in Hong Kong and here. We only see the child that many of you were in my group, and your cousin. I don't know, Daniel, maybe, GM, I think, you and your brother. So, you know, we were doing a little bit. I mean, you were with us for a couple of years. As a Sunday school kid, you're not competent to teach, are you? But Paul is saying, you teach them so that they will be competent to teach. Not only competent, but they are faithful to the word of God. So, it's the way, in the sense, the passing on. Like today I can see you, Daniel and Carson, you're grown up and you're certainly not quite competent yet. I'm not competent either. But we're trying, we're learning. And the more we try, the more we learn, the more we'll be more competent. Make less mistakes and telling people the right thing. Telling them. But we practice the right thing ourselves. So this is the significance of this verse 2. For today, for kids, 7-year-old, you teach them the basic, then it serves as a foundation for them to build on. So I'm glad today I can, at least I got, we have two kids. Encourage them. But we never stop here. We need to be a soldier and playing the, as it were, observing the rules of that, of our service from the Lord and working hard.
I think for me here in chapter 2, so we know that Timothy is trying to do God's work, but he has been facing some challenges or downcast. And then I think here, so from verse 3, 4 and 5 and 6, like Alan shared, there are three sort of category of people. But I think here, it sort of highlighted the characteristics of God's worker. So one is like in verse 3, for those who do God's work to endure hardness. And then verse 4, for those who do God's work, we should not entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life. And then verse 5 is also that we need to follow the law when we, or God's plan or policy or whatever you describe it, so that we can complete his work. And then today Alan asked about verse 6. I think when I look at this verse again, it just struck me today that actually it mentioned in my version, it says, the husbandman that labored must be first partaker of the fruit. So last time I didn't really focus on the word that labor. So in other version, like NIV, it says, the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the fruit. So I overlooked the word hardworking. So I was thinking that there could be a farmer who is lazy or who is very laid back, like, oh, I just sow the seed and then I go away and then I didn't spend time to clear the weed and water the plant. So I think, it just struck me that to be God's worker, we also need to have this hardworking spirit. So when I check on the website, one of it is just refer to Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. I will just read it out. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And then another verse is in, verses are in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 to 12. It says, for God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown for his name, as you have ministered to the saints and continue to do so. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end, in order to make your hope sure. Then you will not be sluggish, but will imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit what has been promised. So I think, yeah, these two verses is sort of linking to 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 6 about the hardworking or those who labor for God's work will take the fruit eventually. So I think if we look at all these different type of people together, that's what characteristics that one person should have in my perspective.
Jump in really quickly. I can see this as being like, it's quite a good encouragement, I think, actually for all of us. But I think it's Paul kind of emphasizing that there's no, like Uncle David was saying actually, there's no 50-50, there's no like, I'll do it one day, but then I'll not do it again as a soldier, as an example. But I think it's more the case of Paul telling Timothy that you have to go all in, and these are quite good examples. Like, in terms of the farmer and everything, so I remember when I was, I mean, this was during COVID, and I had a cycle really early in the morning. It was like 5 or 6 in the morning, because I wanted to miss all the traffic and everything. And if I do a long cycle, then I didn't want too many cars there. And one of the routes I'd go is, like, across a farm, like, down the farm, and there'd be people, like, really early in the morning, like, whether they're sowing the crops or whether they're like, they're taking the crops and everything as well. And, so you can, that kind of just highlights what kind of environment they kind of have to like live in and everything as well. And there's another quote I've got in the back of my head, like, where like, you've got to be first in, but last out. That kind of, in terms of like work ethic. And I guess a lot of this is kind of saying some of that. And a lot of this is saying also in terms of you reap what you reward. So in terms of like how much effort you kind of put in and how much kind of hard work you kind of do put in, what is emphasizing to Timothy is this is what, if you kind of want to get what God is to give you, then this is the expectation. And then there's a slight part of me that's thinking, is this, When we say overcomer, per se, is this what it's kind of referring to? That it's not just a lackluster, well, like, not being a lackluster Christian or like, but that's not the right thing to say, but as in like, is that what the emphasis is? As opposed to just being a bystander as a Christian, but rather than someone who's actually willing to commit.
I think this question is related to when God comes, right? Then before the judgment seat or after that stage, like, there's this reward if you are just barely saved or you have done some work for God, then you get this germ cell. Is it in Revelation or something like that?
Yeah, the seven churches, God, Jesus promised to be seven churches overcomers. But what is the meaning of overcoming in the church, in the context? Because in Revelation first, the chapter 2 and chapter 3 about the seven churches, I mean, seven churches in this seven locations, but in this area, Asia Minor at that time, there are more than seven churches. What does it mean? Overcoming means you overcome by Jesus' life, by Jesus. First of all, there must be things that you need to overcome. For Timothy, it's cowardice. So if he doesn't overcome that, he's not overcoming. But he's not, Paul saying, it's a spirit, not the spirit of cowardice, but of love and sound, etc. This is chapter 1. Mm-hmm. Chapter 1, verse 6. The 7. Discipline. Overcoming is not what you've done. Overcoming is your life. Jesus' life in you. Is the life able to bring you over the person, whatever it is. Rather than, oh, I can't do it, I don't know, you know, I'm going to walk. Not that. That is not an overcomer. An overcomer is not try to exert yourself. You cannot be overcomer by exerting yourself. Rather, the life of the Lord, it takes time to roll into that position, as it were. If you're not a leader, why try to fight for that? You need to grow into it. Yeah? If you're not a preacher, why fight to preach? You need to grow into it. Yeah? Your life needs to grow and express the word of God that you're preaching. If your life is not there and you preach, it's very empty, quite like an empty drum, if you will. Yeah. So if you ask whether it is the overcoming, yeah. I mean, a soldier, if he doesn't overcome, he'll be dead, nothing. So a soldier overcomes, or he will be shot by his superior. You're lazy, coward. That's what Russians do, the Russian commander. If he sees a soldier not fighting and trying to escape, he'll be shot immediately. No, but well, we are a soldier of Christ. I mean, a soldier of Christ will not be shot. Yeah, it will give us grace and, you know, time to grow and to fight in the spiritual battle, as it were, not fight with our flesh. Yeah, let them see us fighting in our flesh, so in the Holy Spirit, not the flesh. You read Ephesians 6, you know, the spiritual armor. So cover that for you. Hope you say overcoming. Yes, overcome. Like you, the Lord will help you to overcome. Even today, you have a difficulty. You notice, like today, I have a problem because I bite my cheek so often. I got a painful cheek. I have to overcome. If I say, I better not share anything today because whenever I talk, I bite my cheek. Just overcome by the life of the Lord. Yeah. We ask Jason, practice. If he doesn't practice the piano, he will not be able to play, isn't it? To practice the piano, how many times do you need some people learning and got so frustrated and they bang the piano keys rather than playing? Yeah. So it's very much like learning the computer. You get frustrated. Don't know what to do with it. He overcomes you rather than you overcome the computer. So there's a lot of things for us to learn. Yeah. Reading the Bible. Yeah. How do you find out what does it say? Yeah. And we cannot just say, oh, it's a difficult thing. I never understand it. We have to ask the Lord teach me humility. We can overcome. I think for us, each one of us, God has given us gifts. It's just that we don't use it. Paul told Timothy, rekindle. We have to give. Chapter 1, verse 6. Most of us, many of us, not most, we do not pursue the law. We just sit there, come on Sunday, very happy. But in our daily life, we don't have this overcoming. Every day we have problems. We cannot. And this is more than what is happening in the world. We ask the Lord. Because it's in that life. If it's not in the life of God, if it suddenly comes, when something suddenly comes, then your flesh comes up. But it's the life of the Lord in you. When something suddenly comes, the life of the Lord says react rather than you. And I think this is the reality that we need to go into. Okay.
I think that's
a good job. From
Pauline.
Sorry.
Okay. Who is you?
Yeah,
you go after Pauline.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Sorry, I have a bit of echo. I just want to jump in. There's a lot of the good points that, you know, brothers and sisters shared just now. So just want to carry on some of them. I think just now, sister asking, whether, you know, the overcomer faith, which is, have the reward or the, or, you know, or, you know, the opposite. And I haven't actually thought about, you know, Revelation yet, but, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I think, you know, these few weeks, some of the brothers, you know, share on Sunday have mentioned that too. It is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and if we read from verse 12, to perhaps maybe, you know, a few verses, then we will find, you know, a bit of the, a gist of it. And, the verses here, encourage us to be overcomer and, you know, to be the soldiers, good soldiers of the Lord. And, you know, just remind us how to build, and we have to build on the foundation of Christ. And from verse 12 onwards, it says that if any man builds on the foundations using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, and then 13, his works will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light, and it will be revealed with fire. Okay, fire will actually test it, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. And 14, if what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. And 15, if it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only just one that escapes through the flame. So, I mean, it's not exactly what, you know, talk about soldier in here, but we can actually get the gist of being over, well, just now, you know, brother and sister already used a very key word that I think it is really good word, you know, be hardworking and also, you know, and be overcomers. And then not 50-50 and be committed. All this, you know, will be, you know, it will test, you know, as everything that we actually do for the Lord, it will be test. And it, one day it will show and it will be revealed whether, you know, it is burn off or it is, it would be, you know, kind of the building up, which is, you know, it's supposed, it will be everlasting. So, I mean, for those that who are, the good soldiers, you know, just, in this, verses that we mentioned in, 2 Timothy, you know, it's very similar that, you know, if we carry on, if we persevere, and, you know, if we actually learn to be overcomer, be committed, throw all of us, you know, ourselves in rather than, you know, just specificity, then it should be, you know, part of the expectation that, you know, for that person who enlists us in here, it actually say, you know, in 2 Timothy, you know, who, I think, you know, in Darby's version, it says, who and why are we called? The Lord called us to be good soldiers. And why in here, you know, in chapter 2, actually mention all those? I think, at the beginning, Ellen already, you know, remind us some of the points that we mentioned last week. Sorry about that. Last week, you know, I left a bit early. So the last 20 minutes, I still miss it. I'm trying to keep up, you know, to listen. So if I have repeat something that you have said, sorry about that. But you know, I just want to say at that time, I mean, sister just mentioned, you know, again, I think it is a good reminder in this chapter, you know, or maybe in the whole book, we have to remember, you know, what stage Timothy was in. Very downcasted, hopeless, lonely, and in the dark, and really needs to be, you know, brightened up and lifted up, you know, by the Lord. And whatever it says in here, I'm sure, you know, Paul actually got, you know, the word from God, from the Lord, to try to lift him up. And at the very beginning, I think just now, Ellen already mentioned, you know, reminds us again that, you know, it's by the grace of the Lord, has to be by the grace of God. It cannot be by ourselves. We never be able to read by ourselves. And then the second verse, it is, you know, it's a, well, we really have to go and find the light-minded and the pure heart, you know, to really want to, you know, fight the battle for the Lord. And sometimes we have to be actively try to, not actually, you know, according to, our, for men, we will be, you know, men's eyes, it is, oh, 5 years of the gap is the general, you know, it's kind of 5 years. Well, I mean, it's, you know, somebody who's older, they cannot actually be able to understand, you know, the younger one, you know, what they think. And it's a generation gap, you know, this is a worldly people who say that. But I don't think, you know, in here we found that, isn't it? Paul and Timothy, they are very same mind, like mind. And I think it is, you know, only by Paul, perhaps, you know, at this moment of time, God used him to actually, you know, remind Timothy. And it is the light, the pure heart people who really want what the Lord's word can be done. You know, we really have to actively go and, find them and search them and be able to be, you know, to be, you know, pursued with them. And in here, it's just, you know, those, in verse 2, it says that, you know, many good witnesses, you know, entrusted to the reliable man, and also not only just find them, but, you know, have to teach them and to pass on, you know, the baton, you know, to them, so that, you know, they can actually pass on to, you know, to the others, you know, to do God's work. And, I mean, actively, you know, go and find them. It's not, I mean, at that time when we were very, very dark, we forgot about that. And then we always, you know, think that, just like Elijah, think that, you know, it is just for him, for himself, that, you know, just fighting for the Lord. But it's not. God actually say, you know, as the 7,000 who still there, you really have to go and find it. And same as Timothy now, even Paul was in prison, very nearly, you know, to be beheaded. But, you know, don't be disheartened. You know, people, for God's people, which soldiers are still there. So that is something. And then, you know, verse 3, you know, remind him about his part. And then for verse 4 and verse 6 onwards, I think just now, you know, Brother used a very good word. It's the expectation or the criteria. Now, you know, the purpose, you know, is to, you know, for calling us. It is to call us to be good soldiers. I think that is a very obvious in this, you know, the first half of the chapter. And, you know, to be good, so how to be good soldiers? And just now, you know, using a very good word, be convicted, not 50-50, throw all yourself in, and also, you know, and to, you know, to be diligent, to be honest. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. So, and in verse 4, it's, you know, not to be distracted, that that's something. I don't know whether you all actually share it, towards the end last week. To be not distracted. Now, a lot of the time, perhaps we experience to be distracted, but if we have to, you know, be, you know, to be good soldier, you know, for Christ, we really have to, learn how to. And a lot of the things from verse 4 to verse 6, it actually reminds me about, you know, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. It is two things in there. Verse 13 to 14. It's, the first thing, it is to keep in the pattern of the sound teaching. And just now, I think all the brothers actually mentioned about, you know, have to read the Bible. The Bible actually have all the things that we need for the rules, you know, of how to let God work. And, you know, that will be the patterns of the sound teaching. And then don't forget about 14 as well. I think sister actually mentioned before in previously and mentioned to us, you know, and remind us that you really have to, you know, guard it, you know, with the Holy Spirit live in you. Only just knowing the word, but without the Holy Spirit, you know, to lead and guide you every single step, it doesn't work sometimes. And most of the time, perhaps. I think, you know, these are the two very important criteria to be able to learn verse 4 and to verse 6. Now, verse 4, it is not be distracted. And then verse 5, it will be, you know, have to keep, you know, the rules. The rules are all in the Bible. And I don't know how much that you all share about that, but if now that, you know, we think about it, or, you know, what are keeping all the rules in the Bible? It's just reading it, and then, you know, and then we will get it. I think, you know, just now, Brother and Sister mentioned that, you know, to exercise is important. None of us, you know, the first day that, you know, we become Christian and we know how to serve. No matter it's preaching, no matter it is, you know, serving in some other way, no matter it is teaching, no matter it is, you know, sharing the gospel, none of us, you know, will be able to do it straight away. We have to exercise. But, you know, if the Lord actually calls you to, you know, to this role, and if you think that, you know, it is from the Lord, I think, you know, the Lord will help us, you know, while we are serving it, we will be learning it. And just now mentioned about not only just knowing the words, but our lives, you know, learn as well. And we are encouraged, you know, by brothers and sisters, in, you know, in the room, or, you know, no matter it is leading the Bible study, no matter it is sharing on Sunday, no matter it is doing Sunday school, and, you know, or other, you know, silently actually doing their part. And we're all learning, and we can see that. And I think the Lord can see that, and really encouraged by that, that, you know, or even translating or whatever. So a lot of the things that, you know, we can think of, you know, is, you know, but doing it in, you know, according to the rules. And that is something that we all have to learn bit by bit and day by day. And it is, like what in the Old Testament, when we build the tabernacle, it has to be, you know, according to the pattern of, you know, of what, you know, Moses actually got from the Lord from Mount Sinai. You know, that is some mentioned it many times. And also, you know, in the New Testament, it mentioned about, you know, we have to learn to, you know, learn God's word, and also, you know, doing it by the Holy Spirit. And, you know, that is the rules. We have to do things in God's way. Then we win, like what verse 5 says in here. And I'll just give you a very quick example. We come across, you know, an elderly person before, and this elderly person didn't really know God before. And, you know, and just it happened that, you know, the first time, or maybe, you know, the first two times that, you know, she visited, and there were very experienced, there was a very experienced, you know, gospel sharer, you know, among us. And then, you know, she tried to, you know, share the gospel with this elderly lady. And however, you know, even so that she was very experienced, she used some of the words and reminds her a lot of the time that, you know, because of we are elderly, we shouldn't actually have a lot of time, and, you know, and we should actually grab the opportunity, you know, and now you should actually, you know, accept Jesus, or maybe, you know, just you know, seek him more. I mean, in the content, it's very good. It is according to the Bible. But unfortunately, at that time, she was very offended by, you know, saying that, you know, her life might be short, and, you know, and maybe, you know, her time will be up very soon. And she was very offended. And then we eventually found out some other, you know, sister actually trying other ways, and, you know, and just try to be, you know, friends with her first, and, you know, and then she seems to be a little bit more, you know, kind of in the acceptance mode. And then, you know, she's kind of, you know, gradually, you know, having, sort of, a heart, you know, more, you know, to find the Lord or to seek the Lord. And do you see, I want to say, it is, you know, according to rules, it's not only just reading the Bible. And it is a lot to do with our life. It is a lot to do with how are we going to listen to the Holy Spirit. And especially now that, you know, we can actually communicate with God one-to-one. We don't need other people, you know. Hopefully we don't, well, one day we don't, sorry, not really, this is not the right word. Hopefully, you know, we will be able to listen to God clearer day by day. That's what I want to say. And, you know, that is verse 5. And then the verse 6, you know, just now I say amen to the word be hardworking and labor. You know, just now Sister mentioned about the word labor. You know, she might miss. And it's good that, you know, the Lord actually reminds her and, you know, reminds us too that, you know, be diligent. It is important. And if we actually just, you know, we all maybe, you know, sharing gospel with others before, or maybe we have a burden, you know, a sheep in your heart, and you can find it, you know, and if, you know, if you keep on, if it is burden, it's from the Lord, and, you know, you keep on actually doing your part, it is important. And once, you know, or maybe you're very busy, and then you have less contact, or perhaps maybe you have less time, you know, to be able to, you know, to be able to understand, you know, what, you know, your sheep need. Then, you know, it is distracted, you know, and the God's word might be, you know, also distracted. And we can see, you know, what we have learned, you know, from, what we've actually put in before. And then we realize that, you know, this is very important. And to be diligent, it is important. So in these three verses, to focus, you know, verse 4 and verse 5, you know, to really, according to, you know, God's way, in God's way, it is important to win. And then, you know, and verse 6 is diligent. And when talk about diligent, just now, you know, sister used some of the words in Hebrews, but I, at that time, you know, when she was sharing, I actually remember what we just, you know, read, you know, a few months ago. It's the First Thessalonians chapter 5. Chapter 5. And it is, chapter 5, verse 5. To verse 8, I think. Verse 5 to verse 8. It is talk about, okay, I don't really want to waste the time, but, you know, is, you know, we are the son of day. We are not son of night. And we have to be sober all the time and not, you know, try to be alert and, you know, self-control and not to be asleep and, you know, not to be drunk. You know, drunk is at the night. It's only the son of the light that, you know, will be doing it. But, you know, we are the son of the day. And, you know, we should, you know, be diligent in what we serve and also the part that we're supposed to be in. And I think, you know, these few verses actually say a lot. And that's why, you know, last time, before I left, you know, I actually mentioned it's very rich. And it's a lot of the things that, which is, you know, the criteria, or just now, Father used the word expectation, you know, for the one who enlists us, which is the Lord, call us to a purpose to be able to be, you know, good soldier for him, for his work, for his witness, for his testimony, and for the building up of the church.
Well, but there's a thinking of what to share. I would like to point to you this. If you are a soldier, you will have a commander. Yeah. I don't know how the structure of each regiment at the moment. I think there's captain and then you have what? There's a final, the top of the commander. And here our commander is Jesus Christ. Wow. Have you ever thought of that? Or you, sometimes we don't have the idea we have a commander. You know, we talk about soldier, but we don't have a commander. I mean, if you join us, soon we will, I think, all will be enlisted in this country, whether you are part-time or full-time. because there is danger of attack from Russia. But we need to know our commander, first of all. I mean, Joshua didn't know, I mean, the Old Testament Joshua, he didn't know Jesus was the commander. He just asked him, are you coming to help us? But Jesus said, no, I'm the commander of Israel. Let me take over. And then he told him, Joshua, take your shoes off, because this is holy ground. So we can learn the law, you know, to be under the law, being trained. And the word Jesus Christ, I don't know in your translation, the modern translation is Christ Jesus. Is yours Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus?
Which verse?
Oh, verse 3, yeah.
Yeah,
Darby,
right.
I use Darby, yeah, I know it's Jesus.
Christ Jesus.
Yeah, you see, there's a subtle difference. You see, Jesus is the name of the Lord on earth, yeah, who is given his name as a, in humanity. But Christ is not with humanity name. Christ is the anointed. His name is not this world, as it were, you know. So we are, if I ask who is my captain, if I can, oh, I don't know, I'm sorry, I don't know, then you'll be in trouble. At least you should know who is your captain, Jesus Christ, okay? And Christ Jesus is different. Christ Jesus put the anointed one before his earthly name. And Jesus is the one who saved him. The meaning of Jesus means he's a savior. So I think modern translation like to put Christ Jesus, because they thought that Christ is the anointed one. He should be before his human name. Yeah? Yeah. But Darby and many older translators put Jesus Christ. That is the proper name of the commander. That is why he put Jesus Christ, because later in verse 8, remember Jesus Christ who died on the cross. Was raised from the dead. It was that Jesus, humanly speaking, Jesus, the Son of Man. So, I think it's an encouragement when we associate this verse with age. It means that you will risk your life, die for Jesus in this fight. But you know, your captain, your commander was the one who died for you, who was persecuted. But his life did not end there. It was resurrected. It caused me to think a lot, actually. Sometimes I felt very frightened. If one day, I will have to make a decision. Do you want to follow the law? The gun is here. If you follow the law, bang. If you say no, I won't care, you'll be released. Sometimes I think of this, I got frightened. I said, will I be able to take up this challenge? You know, to say, follow the law. And, you know, in the real persecution in China, many servants of the law say, sorry, I don't want to. So I want to deny them. Then they come and say, we'll be fine. I will let you go. But there were servants of the law say, I won't deny them. Some of them were short, some of them have been serving extended years in labor camp, in prison, but there are many, we later found out, they were the communist ministers in China before the communists came. They already joined the communist party. So when the communists took over, they were the people who were leading, because they they showed their allegiance to Mao Zedong. What I'm trying to say is that, Brother Ni, Watchman Ni, he had some opportunities to be free, but he refused to deny them. So they kept him there. Extended his labor camp time, make him work harder. So he died because of his ill health. He died. But underneath his pillow, his own pillow, when the bed he slept on, there's a little note to say, I still have joy. I just thought, my goodness, you know, all these years, 20 odd years in labor camp, hard work, have been maltreated and in the pillow, and then he wrote, I still have joy. What does it mean? It means that he just despised the suffering. Like the Lord said, he despised the suffering because of the joy before him, he proves. I think that's something encourages me, and now as I read this, I will take it. If somebody pulls a gun at me and say yes or no, I say, I'll follow the Lord. Okay, I finished. I know my commander, Lord Jesus Christ, has risen from the dead, eternal life, and crowning. I don't know whether you thought of the word crowning. You see, the crowning is not for the one who did so well, or did, you know, the one who crowned, who is crowned, is the one who is very humble, like Jesus. Philippians 2, isn't it? He emptied himself, went on, become a man, a slave, and then obedient to death on the cross. And then after that, he was lifted up and he was given a name above all names. I think the crowning is not, you know, I'm the best among you. Or rather, are you the least, like Paul said, I'm the least of the apostles. I'm the worst of the sinners. I think that's the crowning. Jesus Christ today is crowned in Hebrews. Why? Not because he's higher. He's crowned because he's the Lamb of God. He suffered. He's very humble. So let's just not be trying to go for a crown, Pastor. Thinking that I've done so well. Rather, the crowning. Also, as I told you, I ran this 5,000 meters race. I got last in the race. I got last, couple of laps behind others. Now, my teacher told, he was one of those who organized this sports day. And he pointed at me, yeah, he came last. But I completed the race. Yeah, I was almost half dead. Yes, but I really, really persisted and finished the race. I didn't get any crown, first, second, third. But my teacher pointed to me and said, well, you persisted. You finished the race. I think this is a lot, you know, we must finish the race. I'll say, I finished the race. You know, I fought the fight. I ran, you know, that is something we need to. I don't know how long I've got, yeah. But I hope I finished the race as Jesus wanted. Yeah. I finished not, even though I'm maybe last in the race, I finished. And I finished according to his rules, as it were, if there are any rules for me. I think it is good, you know, that as S.B. Mayer once said, those who climb to the top of the ladder, who want to climb to the top of the ladder, they were the worst to fall if they fall, because they were so high, and they fall with them they had hard, most hard. But if you are the one who tried to climb, but you're steady, if you say two steps, you fell, it's not too bad. Just hit my bum. But you were there, wow, you fell. That's what fatal could be. So let's just remember, you know, the servants who went before us, they were not aiming for glory for themselves, humility. That's how we can finish the race. I remember a brother said, I think it's Len Sandberg. He said, well, in his British way, expression, he said, which is very true. He said, in the church, you've got to be a sponge. I mean, why? If you squeeze that, after you've been squeezed, when you let go, you bounce. Yeah, that's what with the life of the Christ is like that. When you're squeezed, okay, let you squeeze, okay. But after that, the pressure gone, you bounce back. And rather than, you know, I'm hard. You hit me, I hit you twice. Yeah. Oh, let that pressure be put on you. But after that, you recover. That's an overcomer. And that's how you finish the race, be an overcomer. And okay, if people deprive you of that, fine. You know, well, it doesn't hurt me at all. So Lance Lambert's brother has something to say about overcoming and finishing the race.
I think just going back to my question about verse 6, I think Kim pointed out the fact that the versions have different explanations. So in the NIV, the King James Version, it says that the farmer is the first to take the crops. But actually in the NIV version, the description is kind of different. It's almost like if you don't work, you don't get to eat. It's like the husbandman must labor before partaking of fruits. And so that was just that distinction. I think it's probably clearer, like the NIV version. And going back, if we go on to verse 7, where we think of what I say, for the Lord will give thee understanding in all things. So again, in the last one, we read that, it's not from the human understanding. All of this understanding is from the Lord. And, Paul is urging Timothy to think about it. But we know that, for our growth, it's not just, thinking, and we have to actively work on it ourselves. And, there's many things that, it's quite difficult. Like, for the children's ministry, I know, for the teachers, that they take a lot of time to prepare the material, it's quite hard work. So without doing that preparation and putting the hard work in, you're not really going to be able to do that role. And the same with prayer can be quite hard work as well. Sometimes, loving our family and friends is also quite hard work, and studying is quite hard work. But if we don't put the work in, and I think this is going back to those three examples, we're not really gonna be able to grow. And and we talked before about reading that difference. At the moment, I think a few of us have got some plumbing issues, including me. We've had to call in the plumber to have a look. A plumber always has his toolkit. He's got different tools for different jobs, uses. And even for us, our tool is the Bible. So we need to really know the Bible quite well. And, we're able to, explain or have verses to cater to different situations. And, if we don't know the Bible very well, then, we can, get sidetracked or be led astray. And like last week, Jason Chan shared about his church, and even in our church, we have some information, so that's quite important for us. But I mean, ultimately we have to, walk and think on, reflect on God's words, and to just walk. And like Uncle Dave says, if we're just coming on Sundays and we're not really just listening, but we're not actually walking, it's not really profitable for us. But we know that, we have the Lord to give us, our, understanding and help us to grow. That's all I was saying.
Yeah. By the time. Nearly all of it. Just very quickly, a few thoughts. I mean, we talk about it in three kind of characters, shall we say, the soldiers, the athletes, and the father. And if you're thinking about the soldier here, that we touch upon it, but we didn't sort of spend a lot of time, that you say, oh, no one going as a soldier entangle himself with the affairs of life. And I'm thinking, soldiers, isn't it? You spend years, isn't it? You probably spend the majority of your time training, getting ready. And what is a soldier for? To fight, isn't it, in a war. And to me, it is kind of reminding us that how we need to be, and we shared about how, diligence and all that. But as a soldier, you need to be so focused, isn't it? You can't be kind of sidetracked so easily by many things, isn't it? It's like, in terms of fighting the war, I mean, no one's going to tell you, be ready, tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, we're going to fight. It's not like that, is it? Fighting the war. No one's going to give you signals that I'm going to tell you now, get yourself ready. Whereas athlete, in a way, that the race is, that it's a set time, you go there to you call a race. So to me, it's, as a soldier, you need to be kind of like always ready, and you can't be distracted by, you know, so many things in life. Thinking about it, you know, we always thought there's one more thing to do before I can attend to you. But the Lord here is, or Paul here, the Lord is sort of speaking through Paul to encourage Timothy how you need to be ready at all times. I know there's a verse later on in chapter 4, which I think we, Antibiotic, have read it before. I, you know, to preach the gospel in season, out of season, is pretty much, it's like, there's no kind of like, oh, sorry, night time, I'll come back to you tomorrow. And then the athlete one that we share a lot, I mean, it's quite, in a way, it's quite simple, isn't it? If you don't follow the rules, you're out. It's as simple as that. And I think there's not much more you need to add to that. I mean, it is as simple as that. You need to know what the Lord is saying to you and what He wants you to do, isn't it? And then the last verse, I know I haven't got to ask that question either. I mean, to me, there are kind of many versions out there. It seems kind of, I don't know, especially after you read kind of that, it's so clear in it. I mean, other versions seem to be a bit misleading, you know, the farmer need to eat first and all that, or to partake the crops. But here, like King sort of pointed out, the farmer, you need to work, you need to labor. And that's what the Lord is expecting us to do, isn't it? It is not, there will be reward, we know that. He goes to say very clearly, I mean, King sort of pick up those verses earlier. In other places in the Bible, it's quite clearly said to us, it is not for you to worry, oh, am I going to get a reward or not? You work, you labor, you will be rewarded. The Lord says clearly. So, I think much has been shared, but it is again to me, it's a reminder that how so easily, you know, things get in the way. And I give one example, which is probably not very good, I have to say. The phrase, or not even the phrase, people seem to be very proud of, oh, you know, I can multitask. I can do many tasks at once. Sometimes I'm not sure that is a good thing. I'll give you an example. I mean, it's probably not a good one. Sometimes during, you know, when I speak to my manager in the call, to be frank, I quite hate what she does from time to time. And you say to, you know, I go to her and say, look, there's a problem here. And she gets distracted. You know, you know what modern workplace is like? You know, messages coming in left, right, center. And I would say, look, this is a problem. This is what I think the solution is. And I realized for about 20 seconds, and she comes and says, sorry, outside. I just say, oh, can you repeat that again? Sorry, I was doing something else. The message coming in. So I mean, like, that's not what the Lord wants to do. I know that is workplace. So that's why I say it's not a good example. But so often in the modern world, I think there's just so many things that are coming. Oh. But I think the passage here is to remind us that, you know, we talk about being a soldier of the Lord. And are we giving Him that full attention, or are we thinking, I'm actually very good, I can multitask? I don't think the Lord is wanting that. He wants us to follow His single, you know, with a single mind. This is what I want you to do, and I will do it, kind of thing. But I think we are a long way. I'm pretty sure I'm a long way from that. But reading this passage again is reminding us what the Lord is looking for.
Just want
to echo the farmer, that is so important, because it's hard work, I know, but just we're dealing with life, growth in life of them, from seed to fruits. And in Chinese, we have a saying, but miu zhou jiang, there is a seedling which is germinated, and you want it to grow taller, you pull it up higher, you know, pull the whole seedling higher. Oh, it's grown, and you eventually kill the thing. So in life, it's not doing, forcing you, putting pressure on you. You must do this, you must do that. Nagging. And that will not produce growth. Because it's life in you. Can I make you grow an inch? The Lord says you cannot. You know, even anxiety, people, can you make yourself grow? No. So we need to understand, to cultivate that is life. We can put so much in, but eventually it's God who gives growth. Well, let me tell you just one more last thing. Brother Loy went up to the allotment at 8 o'clock in the morning. And when I arrived at about 10-something, 11, he said, I'm going to go now. I said, oh, yeah, that's it. You know, because he had the best part of the, because the sun, yeah, he avoided the sun, whereas I took the full blown. I didn't last very long, and left an hour later because it's so hot. So there are things that we do, labor, that people don't see it. Yes, quiet labor, but people don't see it. But when it comes to fruits, people all want the fruits. I want. But when it comes to doing it, that's what I want to share.
Okay. I just want to be very quickly use this to round up. It's only just 2 minutes. Many years ago, I overheard a conversation between a non-Christian and a Christian. And the non-Christian actually, you know, the first time, you know, seeing the Christian, you know, meeting the Christian, and then the non-Christian actually asked, "What are you doing for a living? What is your job? What's your work?" And then the Christian actually heard that and saying that, you mean full-time job? And they say yes. And say, my full-time job is being a Christian. And, you know, I actually working in where, this is for doing my living. And many years after, kind of like more than 18 years after, when they met again, and then, the non-Christian actually told the Christian that she still remember, you know, what the Christian mentioned. And I think, you know, just now mentioned about focus and mentioned about single mind, you know, for verse 4. Actually, every single time when I read about this, I recall, you know, this conversation. We supposed to be full-time, you know, good soldiers for the Lord. And may the Lord open our eyes.